Okay, today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Daled. We're holding at the Halakha of Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We've been going through every single one of the Arba Minim in a separate Mishnah. And, as Rashi points out, it's a little bit strange why we do that. Why couldn't we just put everything in one Mishnah? But they all are the same, right? So Rashi says, actually, they're not the same. They sound like the same. So let's say we start at the beginning. Arava gizula v'yevesha psula. Same thing we said about the lulav, right? Same thing we said about the adasim. Arava gizula, so if it's stolen, if it's dry, it's pasul. Shelasherav v'shelira nidachatz, it's pasul because of the fact that it's miktute michta, and it doesn't have the necessary shear. Niktam rosho, if you cut off the top, it's kosher. It's possible. We're going to see that there's two different cutting offs. As Machlokas Rishonim, we'll talk about in a moment. Niktam rosho, nifrit, so all of you tore off the leaves. All of it is possible. V'atzavtzefa is psula. Tzavtzefa is a type of species that's a It's a kind of willow tree, but it doesn't have the simanim of the arava, which has to have long leaves, as we'll see, and a reddish stem, as we'll see, and a smooth edge. An arava that is kimusha, if it's dried out, it's not totally dry like yveshab, it's just sort of withering. V'shenashrum miktzat aleh, only some of the leaves fell off. Even if it's shelba'al, it grows from a field and it doesn't grow on the water, it's also kishera. So it sounds the same, but note that over here we have something that we don't have in the other cases. We have the din of the tzavtzefa. So we couldn't just throw that in with everything. Or by the lulav, we've got the inyan of the tzinei harbarzel. We couldn't possibly have said that on the others. We couldn't say the idea of chofin eskulo. We couldn't say in terms of the hadas, and so on and so forth. Each one, when we get to lulav, at the eser, we'll see we're talking about inyanim of achila, like orla and truma. So there's things that we say by each one that can't be included in a general statement, and because of that, each one of them was given its own special mishnah. So it still makes sense that we would do it in this way rather than take the easy way out. So because of that, none of them have all of the same things. And we've got the berries, let's say, on the hadas. We can't talk about berries on the lulav and so on. Tanarabona. So now the Gemara wants to see, where do we get all of these dinim from? How do we know the halacha that you could have even an arava that grows in a field? It says in the pasuk, arvei nachal, and that certainly seems to mean hagdelim al hanachal. They're growing literally over a stream. Dover acher, arvei nachal is a reference to the shape of the leaf. And it means sha'aleh shela mashuch kenachal. So it should be an arava that reminds you of a flowing stream in that it has a long, an elongated leaf. Tanya Ida, the other bride that speaks out, arvei nachal, I would say, ein li ela arvei nachal. Maybe that would mean it has to actually grow by a stream. But how do I know that shel ba'al v'shel harim? What if it grows up on top of a mountain or grows in a field? How do I know that, and there's no one near the water, so how do I know that that's also kosher? Talmud Lomar, arvei nachal. Arvei is plural, which means mikol makom, no matter what, it's still a kosher arava. Now, we'll see later on that there's a machlokas in the Gemara about how many aravot do you need. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you only need to take one arava. That explains why arvei is available to tell me additional types of arava, because I don't need it to tell me to take two. And we'll have to go and take a look, according to Rabbanan, who disagree, where we know that we can utilize even aravot that are not arvei nachal. Rashi learns that Arvei Nachal actually is a lechatchila, and that there's an inyan to find aravot that really grew on a nachal. Most of the Rishonim disagree with that, and that there's no specific. It's the identification of the species. It's not the identification of the place from which to get it, because that people are not makbid l'maisa to go find aravots that are actually Arvei Nachal. Arba Sholomer, Arvei is another thing. There are two dinim of Aravas, but they're not to tell me this halacha, they're to tell me one Arava is a din in the Lulav, and one Arava is a din in the Migdash, because we're going to see later on that every single day in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to go, this of course is where we get our Hakafas from, they used to go around the Mizbeach with these long Aravas. And according to Abba Shaul, that's merumas in the Arve, that there's two different mitzvahs when it comes to Arava. And what about according to the Rabbanan, who just learned the Arve differently? How did they understand? How do they know that Lamigdash? Where does it come from? Where does it say in the Torah that there's an inyan to bring Aravas into the around the Mizbeah? Minolo? No, they say that there's no remez in the Pasuk. That is entirely Ilchot HaGemirlo, that's Halacha L'Moshe Misina. The Omer of Asi, Omer of Yochanan, Eser Netiyot. Now these three halachas are always brought together, even though they're unrelated on the simple level in any way. And as Rashi says, the reason that they're brought together is because they were nishal together in the Beis HaMedrash, and they became kavua, the same way we said before, says Rashi, Shiurin, Mechitzin, Chatzitzin. Those are not really interrelated, but they're too. It was nishal together and learned together in the Beis HaMedrash, and they were koveyed as interrelated because of the way that they had learned it. So here too, there's three separate dinim, halacha l'mesh b'Sinai. One of them is the halacha of Eser Netiyot. Eser Netiyot is a din in this year, actually, because usually you're not allowed, we learn out from the pasuk, there's this halacha of Tosefet Shviyas, and that is 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. And then the Rabbanan added even more than that, that you're not allowed to do a Harisha of a Sada. But there's a halacha l'mashimi Sinai that says that if you have saplings, newly planted trees, and they are of a certain density, namely that every Beit Sa'ah is 50 amot by 50 amot, and that means that they're spread out equally in an area of 2,500 amot, square amot, that over there, halacha l'mashimi Sinai, you can keep plowing even until the day before Rosh Hashanah. Because without that, the trees will not take root properly and they won't be able to grow. So because of that, there's also no remez in the pasuk, because halacha l'mashimi Sinai. The din of the Arava, which is the Arava around the Mizbeach, is halacha l'mashimi Sinai. And there's no mocker in the Torah, according to the Rabbanan. Nisuch HaMayim is also halacha l'mashimi Sinai. So the Nisuch HaMayim that's done besides the Nisuch HaYayin in the morning of Sukkot, that is also not in the Pasuk, no, it reminds him in the Pasuk of Mem Yud Mem and so on, but this is all halacha l'mashimi Sinai. Tana Rabbanan. Arvei Nachal means Hagdelot al Nachal, but that is a reference to the species. Prat l'tzavtzafa Hagdela ben Haharim. There's a different type of willow tree, which is commonly called a tzavtzafa, and that grows in the mountain. That's primarily found in higher altitudes, and this is the remez that a tzavtzafa is possible for the Arava. Omer Abizera Maikra, where do we see a remez in the Pasuk directly that specifically Tzavtzafa is viewed as a very low class tree and therefore it's not roy to be an Arava? Because when Yechezkel was being Mochiach Klal Yisrael, one of the things that he says is that Kach HaMayim Rabim Tzavtzafa Shemo, these idiots, my children, they took those trees that are meant to grow in the middle of all of these waters, and instead they turned it into a tzavtzafa. Mashma, that if you take the aravais that are meant to be godol ala nachal, and you mess up your life, so to speak, originally your life is filled with all of this potential, then you turned it into a tzavtzafa. Omele Abaya, I don't understand how you know that. I mean, maybe if it would have said, Lakuta Aravava, Soto Tzavtzafa, I understand, but maybe it's just being mafarish. V'dil maparushik, I'm mafarish. They took that, which was the Godol HaMayim Rabim, which is a tzavtzafa, known as a tzavtzafa, and the way to read the pasuk would be, Kach HaMayim Rabim, he took something that was growing on all of this water. What's that? Mind you, that's a tzavtzafa. So then it would be a type of arava, and the pasuk would referring to a tzavtzafa. He says, Gemara, what do you mean? But how do you explain the word samo? Samo means they turned it into, right? So apparently it's something that was meant to be better, and they turned it into something that is low class. So they took a beautiful arava, and they turned it into a tzavtzafa. Omar Rabbi Abo, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically what the pasuk is telling you is like this. Ani amarti shiyu Yisrael lefanai kikach hamayim rabim. I set Klal Yisrael up with all of this incredible potential, and I thought that they would be blessed with all of this possibilities. Umayniu arava vehein samuats man kitzav tzifar shemarim. They were the ones who made themselves all dried up and turned into the old willow. Now, this discussion that we just had was a discussion not in the Braita. So we asked on the Braita, maybe it means this, and then we had the answer, no, it means this, with the discussion between Rabbi Zera, Abaya, but there's another Lashon which is exactly the same, except that it reads the Pusik into the Braita itself, and then has the discussion within the Braita. The original Braita, which we said, that you are not able to be Yotzi with the Braita, brings the Pasuk. Then in this version, it's Rabbi Zera who is the one who asked the question. V'dilma perushika mefaresh, kach ha'mayim rabim, my nihu tzavtzafa. And then the Gemara itself answered without Rabbi Zera, or without a discussion of who, it just said stam. Im Kain says the Gemara, what? How to explain the word samo? Fine, it's basically the same idea, and then it brings the end also. Om Rabbi Abba, Om Rakadosh Baruch Hu, Niyamar Tishu Yisrael, Lefanai Kikach HaMayim Rabbim, Umay Nuyo Arava, Ein Samo Atzman, Kitzav Tzifah Shabarim, basically a review of the same sugya, but with different names. Tana Rabbana, what is the difference in the physical characteristics of the tzavtzafa and the arava? So Tana Rabbana, ezeu arava ve'ezeu tzavtzafa. Arava kaneshela adom. So first of all, the twig itself, the stem of the arava, is reddish. And originally it's greenish, and then it turns reddish. The alashela mashuch, and it's got this elongated leaf, doesn't look round, and it has a smooth edge. Pia chaluk. Masha'in kain, the tzavtzafa is a whitish color stem, and a rounded, more rounded leaf, and its leaf edge is like a serrated knife, but of the kind that's like a magal. Now, the serrations on a magal are aimed in one direction only. They don't just go up and down. There's a big difference between them. But okay, I'm remembering Yoch HaShchita, in that if you go in the direction in which you're in the same direction as the flow of the serrations, then you don't cause a trefa if you just pass one serrated edge over the throat, because you don't tear. It's in only when you're going against the direction of the serration that you tear the throat, and over there it's possible. So there were mechalik between a magal, which is a sickle, or a masor, which is a saw. Where over there the saw actually goes up and down, so then it will actually tear. So here it's saying that if the piv is doima lamagal, it's also not considered to be kosher. And it's one of the three simanim that tells us that it's a tzavtzefa and it's not an arava. But the problem is, there's another brayta that says that if the serrated edge of the leaf is doma lemagal, it's kosher, and it's only possible if it's doma lemasar. But it's saying over here, it does not necessarily have to be smooth, and you said a smooth edge leaf was the siman of the arava. Amar Abaye, there is a type of arava like that, and it's called the chilfa gila. Chilfa means simply an arava in Aramaic, but the gila is a certain type of arava, and that has only two out of the three simonim. It does not have a smooth leaf, but it also does not have a jagged-edged leaf. So it has a gentle in one direction, like a magal serration. Omra bayah. So you see from this whole discussion that obviously the chilfa gila is kosher for the Hoshana. I should think so. I mean, why would he have to say that? What do you mean, Shema Amina? We just use that as the teretz. We said that that's talking about the kosher arava and the braita. So what do you mean, Shema Amina? I mean, why wouldn't it be? I mean, if there's no other, I mean, unless you think there's some other species that is not like the chilfa gila, and that has two out of the three simanim, and it has the magal, you know, so I don't know of any other type. So obviously we're talking about a chilfa gila, no? No, because I would have thought we have to search for something else. I'll tell you why. Because ma'al d'tema, the chilfa gila seems to have a permanent subspecies name, right? Because oil ve'itle shem levai, as we said, wherever we have a shem levai, it's not mitkasher. Kamash balan, that does not apply over here. There is no other species that doesn't have a name, and that's gufoto it's referring to. So then why not? I mean, the truth is, if it has a shem levai, it shouldn't be kosher. Because the Torah says arvei nachal means any type of arova, and even if it has, the important thing is, if it would have just said arova, fine. But over here, the important thing is that it's identified with the species that usually grows on the water. That's all that the Torah wants, arvei nachal. I see we got some problem with Yehuda's attendance over here. What's going on? La. We lost one of our Dafyomi participants. School? More than Dafyomi? School? Okay, maybe we can get them to do Dafyomi in school. That would be great. Tell them you should start a campaign. Okay, so therefore Arve Nachal tells me there's no problem of subspecies. Omer of Chista, you should know, don't jump to any conclusions, because, you know, sometimes people call something a tzavtzefa and it's really an arova. They may call it an arova and it's really a tzavtzefa, because you should know that Omer of Chista, there were three things that are very confusing in which the common usage of the word got changed after the Churban Abayis. So what used to be called a chilfa is now called an arava, and what used to be called an arava is now called the chalafta. So basically, the chilfa used to be the name, says Rashi, of the tzavtzefa. Now, the tzavtzefa is the thing that's called the arava, so that is a bit confusing. So what you want to buy, if you're in a place that's speaking Aramit, what you want to buy today is the chilfa. And dafka de arova is possible because that's bin astam at tzavtzefa. Dafka mina la halacha, of course, would be lululav. So the one that's kosher has to be a chilfa today. Another thing that's different is that what used to be called a shofar is now, again, in Aramaic, shipura is now called a chatzotzarta, and a chatzotzarta is now called a shipura. So if you buy yourself a shofar, that's not kosher for Rosh Hashanah, because that's basically a trumpet. Nemoinav Kamina, the Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah. Use what is now called the trumpet and do not use the shofar. A petorta is a petora, and a petora is a petorta, and the difference is in the size. Both of them mean a table, but it's not clear here, but elsewhere Rashi says the petora is the large one and the petorta is the small one. But here he just says one is large, one is small. So anyway, nowadays it's been flipped. L'may nafkamina, the only difference would be for mekach u'memkar. So if somebody orders a petorta today and is delivered a petora, he's got to take delivery on that. Omer Abaye af ani omar, I want to give you another very important example of something that is totally different usages today. What used to be called the Beit HaKosot is now called the Huvlilta. And what used to be called the Huvlilta is now called the Beit HaKosot. So basically, remember that there's four different stomachs in any Ma'ale Geira. So one of those stomachs creates the cuds. So first you have basically this first stomach that you just, it's there just to allow the cellulose to actually dissolve. That's called the keres. So that's like this whole horrible process. It stinks to high heaven. And over there it's stored for a while, and then it's ready to be shaped into these cuds. And the cuds are shaped by the Beit HaKosot. Each one of these kosot, it looks like a little cup, and it makes a cud. And then it goes out of the cud base, it's pushed up to the mouth again, and it keeps chewing on that until it's finally ready to go into the hemsis. And the hemsis goes from there into the keva. So originally, says Abaya, the hemsis was called the huvlilta. And the actual, what's known as the Beit HaKosot, which is today, I mean, in English, it's the reticulum, that was called the Beit HaKosot. Now they flip the meaning, and there's a tremendous nafkamina lahalocha. The nafkamina lahalocha is for dinim of treifas. L'may nafkamina, in the din of treifas, where's Yedidya? Bring him back. He's not going to school. The difference would be if you have an animal that swallowed a needle. And now we find that needle, after we shech the animal, we find that needle that it's in the thickness of the wall of the Beit HaKosot. So over there, since the Beit HaKosot is usually what used to be the Beit HaKosot in common language, was the very, very thick. So because of that, the thickness of the wall seals the hole from the machat. Masha'inkin, in the other stomachs, if it's penetrated by a needle, so then it's a psul, it's one of the treifas. And therefore, it makes a big nafkamina la'alocha. Because nowadays, it's the exact opposite than it used to be. Because now, what used to be the hemsis, even though it used to be called the Beit HaKosos, is now called the opposite. Omar Rava Bar Yosef. I can tell you different what's the word that I want? Oh gosh, a flip. Okay. Senior moment. Afani Omer Bavel used to be called Bavel. Now it's known as Bursif. And the place that was the town of Bursif is now called Bavel. Now, L'may nafkamina, this makes a tremendous nafkamina la'alocha, because the nafkamina would be legite nashim. Remember that we have alocha, that someone who brings a get needs to be able to say, b'fanai nichtav, b'fanai nichtav. But this is only if he brings it from a place where it's going to be difficult to be mekayim this get with Adim that can then tell us that, yes, this was done properly, because it's a different country and people don't generally come from one place to another. Or It has to be from a place where people are not bekeen, that everything has to be done lishma. And because of that, we have a reasonable chashash that the Baal can say, this was not written lishma, and it's not a kosher get. So fine. Because of that, we were metaken that the shliach has to say, in front of me, this was written lishma, and signed, and so on. So the din is that Bavel used to be, that the place that the Gemara called Bavel, that's full of yeshivas in which everybody knows that then they're bekiyin lishma. And plus, we have constant travel between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael because people would go to learn in the yeshivas of Bavel, the yeshivas of Eretz Yisrael. Borsif, on the other hand, the Gemara says, is like the pit. That's what's called Borsif, the bottomless pit. And this was like the biggest Amei Haaretz. It was a horrible place that were totally not bekiyin lishma. Nobody would be going back and forth from Borsif to Eretz Yisrael. And now it's the opposite. If a get comes from Borsif, that's originally what was called the original Bavel. And there you don't have to say, B'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta. Mashenken, if someone brings it from Bavel, there they do have to say, B'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta. Do we have our Sir Richard? Is Sir Richard en route today? I think it was there for a moment. It looks, yeah, no, we got him. Sir Richard.
It's tomorrow, Rabbi.
Tomorrow.
I head back. My penultimate day in Finland.
Good luck. I think you have to quarantine now. Is Finland one of the quarantine places?
It will be in another week.
Okay. So.
But I think I get under the wire on this one. You know, I've done my corona test. I'm waiting to see if I'm positive or negative. And God willing.
Moving on now to the hadasim. So Rabbi Shmuel Omer, you have to take three hadasim, and you have to take two aravot, and one lulav, and one etrog. But as far as those hadasim are concerned, only one of them has to be a sholem, and two of them are okay even if you were niktam rosha. It would still be kosher. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, afilu shlosh tan ketumim. You do not need Rashi learns Rabbi Tarfon holds you don't need hadar for the hadas. But others learn that he's not arguing on the ikker question of whether you need hadar. The thing is that he says that since hadasim, even if you're kotem the stem of the stick of the hadas, but the leaves still grow up over the top and they hide the place that it was cut. And because of that, it would be kosher, and it's still considered to be hadar, according to Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva Omer, it's not true what Rabbi Yishmael says. Kishem shilulav echad, vetrog echad, kach hadas echad, v'arava echad. There's no such thing. If you can add, it doesn't matter if you bring more. But you're not mechuyev to bring more than one of each of the minim. And they're all the same as they're all put together in the pasuk. According to Rabbi Akiva, though, the hadas that you do have is a hadas that has to be shalim, not like Rabbi Tarfon. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, pre-eitz hadar refers to one etrog. So the word pre is one etrog. Anaf eitz avot. Each one of those words is a reference to the tree. The anaf is a tree, an eitz is a tree, avot is a tree. So that's three hadasim. Arve nochal, arve is two. That refers to two aroves. And when it comes to the hadasim, even if two of them are ketumim and one of them is not ketum, it's kosher. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, shlosha, but they can all be ketumim. Rabbi Akiva Omer, kishem shelulav echad vetrog echad, kach hadas echad v'arava echad. Omar lo Rabbi Eliezer, now the lo does not make much sense because there does not seem to be any real interrelationship between what Rebbe Eliezer said and what Rebbe Akiva said. And because of this, in many places, the word lo does not appear. And it makes more sense to simply say, Omar Rabbi Eliezer. You might think that you're supposed to also tie the etrog together with the aravas and the hadasim and the lulav. Amrit, read the pasuk clearly, and you'll see that that's not the case. Why? Because the pasuk says that you're supposed to take a pre-eight hadar, kapot tmarim. Kapot marim, what happened to the vav? Vikapot marim. No, kapot marim. Then it says the vav for the viar veinachal ve'anaf etzavot. It says vav. But there's no vav achibur on the connection between the etrog and the lulav. And therefore, it's telling you that they're not meant to be connected to each other. Valolo nemar ela kapot marim instead of vikapot marim. How do we know that you must take all of them as one mitzvah? And that it's not like there's a separate mitzvah for each one, like there are with your tefillin. Tefillin, if you don't have a shal yad, you still put on a shal rosh, and vice versa. But over here, if you don't have adasim, you don't take the other three minim. If you don't have arovah, you don't take the other three minim. How do I know that they're all interrelated and it's all one mitzvah? Talmud Lomar ulkachtem. Ulkachtem means vilakachta tama. You should take it only as a complete unit. So that means you have to have one whole lakicha. Now getting back to this Rabbi Shmuel Shita, it sounds like a crazy Shita. What is it supposed to mean to say you need three adasim, but two of them could be pasul? I mean, Mamanavshach, if the old Zadas is kosher, even if it's niktam. So then say, you could use adasim that are niktami. If he holds that the adasa needs to be hadar, and that the niktam would be pasul, so then if he holds you need three, then say you need three whole ones. But how can you possibly say you need three, but only two have to be kosher adasim? Doesn't make any sense. Manifshah. If he requires shleimim, so then liboy nami kulo, then they all have to be shalom and not katu. And if he doesn't hold that there's a problem of Adar or a particular problem by the Hadas of Katun, ilo boish lemim afilu chad namilo. Omar biro, Omar Rabbi Ami, the truth is that Rabbi Shmuel changed his mind. And basically he originally held that you need three Hadasim. But then he was chayzerbo and he said you only need one Hadas. That's why he said that out of the three, you only need one that's kosher. Why didn't he just say you only need one? So the Rishonim say he didn't want to say you only need one because it's more beautiful. It's hadar, not in terms of hadar, but hidur mitzvah. Remember, we've been mechalek all along from that opening Rashi. And Tosis makes the chiluk later between the concept of hidur mitzvah and hadar as a description of the min. So even though there's no need for hadar on these two, but they are a hidur mitzvah, and therefore it's good to have them. So he didn't want to say, only take one. Because people were taking three adasim. Amar Yud Amar Shmuel, the halacha lamaisa is like Rabbi Tarfon, that even if the hadas is niktam rosha, it's still kosher. And because of this, many of the Rishonim, including the Rambam and the Rif, learn that we paskin over here exactly like that. And you can have niktam rosho and hadasim. Now, there's a Ravid who has a very different approach to the whole sugya. According to him, there is no tzad to say that a hadas that was niktam rosho is kosher. Nobody said that. What was said by Rabbi Tarfon is that hadas that were niktamim are ksherim, not referring to rosho. What it's referring to is a hadas that has branches that go out to the side, and I clip off the branches that go out to the side. That's what niktam means. But the actual hadas itself is whole on its top. And he was never saying that a Niktam Rosho was kosher. So because of this, this is the famous Ravid, by the way, where the Ravid says, when he argues with the Rambam on this, he knows he's arguing with everybody. So when he argues here, he says a very strange lashon in the Ravid. He says, V'kvar hofia ruach hakodesh bebeit midrashenu, that we had ruach hakodesh appear in our Beis HaMedrash, and this was the way that was nizgalatas al pi ruach hakodesh, that this is not what is meant by the niktam. On the Hadas, it's meant niktamim. Very strange kind of lashon, because what do we care about Ruach HaKodesh? We care about the halacha between the Chachomim. We don't care about Ruach HaKodesh. Anyway, a lot of discussion, of course, about what the Ravid is trying to say. But any event, so he has this different approach. And that because of it, some say you should be makbid, even though we paskin halacha l'maisa, not like the Ravid, we paskin like the Rambam and the Rif, and it's kosher. The Ramah says, if possible, certainly it's kedai to be makpid, not to, like the Ravid. And because of that, there's some more makpid that if you do have the hadas, which are have the pieces that grow out from the side, so you can cut off the pieces, but you should leave one. So it could be that there's an inyan to be makpid. If you have a lot of them, that they will end up, if you clip off a lot, so they'll end up, according to the Ravid, maybe being puzzle. Okay. Sometimes it happens that you get adasim with the that look literally like branches of trees. You have pieces that are cutting out from the sides. And what Rabbi Tarfon was saying is that it doesn't matter even if all of your hadasim are clipped on the side. And that was the machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Tarfon. Okay. Anyway, this saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon is actually Shmuel going l'shitato. Why do we know that? Because Shmuel said to the people that were selling the hadasim and were charging an enormous amount of money for hadasim. So he said to them, listen, I'm going to break your market, okay? I'm warning you right now. Either ashru v'zabinu, either you make your prices correct, the way it's really worth, and that's what you sell for, and if not, I'm going to kill the market, because I'm going to paskin like Rabbi Tarfon. I'm going to tell everybody that there's no problem. You can use hadasim that even have the top clipped off. And because of that, there's some people, oh, okay, so fine. Then they're not going to go to find the most mehudar hadasim, and then you're going to lose that money. Now, the question is, why did he say like Rabbi Tarfon? My time. Is he just threatening them, you think, because he's Meikal and he wants to get them scared? He could have said, if you don't listen to me and bring down those prices, I'm going to paskin in the public that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. You don't even need three hadasim. Can you imagine? If the 66% of your market is going to fall away in 1 minute, when I give that cheer, so I'm warning you, I'm going to check this out. Why didn't he say that? I mean, that would have been much more powerful than just telling them you don't have to worry about Nikdam Rosha, right? So, So apparently, Shmuel was not just saying, you know, I'm scaring them. He was saying the truth. He really holds like Rabbi Tarfon. So I can't tell you I'll darsh like Rabbi Akiva, because he didn't hold of Rabbi Akiva's pshat. But apparently you see that he does hold of Rabbi Tarfon. Says, well, not necessarily. Because it could be that as far as the concern for the prop, for the price, the impact on the price, that could be that there's more impact on the price by darshaning like Rabbi Tarfon. Because tzlata ketume shriche, it's pretty easy to find three adasim where they've been clipped, as opposed to one hadas that is perfect and has not been clipped, that is more difficult to find. And therefore, it may well be that Rabbi Tarfon will affect the price more than Rabbi Akiva. So maybe Shmuel doesn't hold of Rebbe Tarf. Maybe he doesn't hold of Rebbe Akiva. He's just threatening them. So therefore, you can't bring a raya from the fact that he didn't use the biggest threat. Maybe he did use the biggest threat. Maybe the biggest threat to the Adasim market is the Shita of Rebbe Tarfon and not the Shita of Rebbe Akiva. Okay, gentlemen, I think we could leave our Mishnah for tomorrow to go through all of the Inyonim, because this way we can have Richie actually be Messiahing our Masechet. Bezrat Hashem, we should be able, if Barnea doesn't hold us up, we should be able to have our Siyum on Negoyim today, I hope. Yes, Reb Barnea?
It's commonly held, I don't know who said it first, that Bar Kochba's coin has only one Hadas and one Harava because he's following Rabbi Kiva Shita.
Excellent. That makes sense that he would follow Rabbi Akiva. After all, Rabbi Akiva followed him. Chashin on the game line.